We sold the tickets for most of the shows. We brought computerized ticketing to Tulsa in 1983. Computerized ticketing had really started around the United States in the mid-70s with a firm called Ticketron. Then, of course, Ticketmaster, Tickets.com, everybody emerged. But we sold tickets for most of the attractions. Well, my gosh, it's almost like the current BOK Center. Here we are in the late 2000s with the BOK Center having so many attractions. That's the way Tulsa used to be when I came into the business in the 60s and 70s and into the early 80s till we had an economic downturn. We used to have not only the 32 hockey games, but we'd have other sporting events and concerts 4 to 6 a month here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the public responded extremely well. I can remember we had the Osmonds and Jackson 5. I can't remember if it was the Osmonds or the Jackson 5. I think it might have been the Jackson 5. Dick Clark Productions presented them both here in Tulsa. But one of the mothers of the group wanted to learn to stay on top of business, the ticket end of the business. So they wanted to know if they could send her around to the box office before the box office closed so she could watch and we would kind of tutor her what went on and also explain to her the ways that an act could be cheated of funds. So that was interesting, and it's strange that I don't remember which mother it was, but she sat there and was really a joy to work with.
Did you think that you would be in this business as you were growing up, or was that an automatic for you?
You know, I don't think that it entered my mind. When I went to the University of Arkansas and majored in economics, if my father hadn't passed away, I can remember thinking about some other employment opportunities and signing up for some interviews when I was a senior. And then all of a sudden my father had a sudden heart attack, and it just kind of like changed the direction of where I was going.
So how many years did you have at the University of Arkansas?
1960 to 1964.
Okay, so you graduated from there.
Mm-hmm, 1964.
All right, so right. That was good training
right.
For you.
Right. In fact, while I was there, my father put 2 or 3 shows over there that I assisted in, the Kingston Trio, the Limelighters, Peter, Paul, and Mary. I helped on the promotion and presentation there for the campus.
All these names that you mentioned, and probably others, did you ever, because you were a promoter, get to connect with any of them and talk to them and get to meet them?
You know, it's really funny. People always would say, oh, I bet it was so great to be able to meet all those people. And we could meet anyone we wanted and go backstage. There's pictures of when Karen G presented the record crowd at the Assembly Center, now the Convention Center, of Andy Williams and Henry Mancini. We've got pictures of Ron Blue and myself and Mancini and Andy Williams backstage. So you could do it. But at that particular time, when the act is in the building, you're really focused on the business end of it. And even though we would go backstage to do different things and see them, it wasn't a big deal. And it should have been. I mean, here you had the opportunity to have your picture taken or whatever, but it never sunk in because I think the way I was just raised in the business, it was just like, so-and-so's on stage. Are you going in? No, I've got to do this here in the office. I've got to take care and distribute these funds. Our responsibility was to take in the many, many thousands of dollars that were generated in ticket sales, and we became the clearinghouse. We sat on that money for months, months, while the tickets were still being sold. And then the night of the show, we're busy in the box office. We're busy paying out of the receipts the advertising people, the ushers, the stagehands, the security officers. If you had to rent pianos and rent things, you had to pay the music store that you rented the piano. So we're back there distributing these funds, as well as, when it's all done, distributing the balance after we paid ourselves for our fee for doing all this work, paying the artists, and they went on to another city. I do remember a funny story about James Brown. James Brown always had some trouble here in Tulsa. Used to come in once a year, and Tulsa was so good, although we had a really small black population. I think it was like 8%, not an extremely large one. But they did respond to James Brown, and being his own promoter, he didn't need a full house to come out because he wasn't cutting another promoter in on it. It was his show. And then he finally started coming in every 6 months to Tulsa. We'd always handle his tickets and everything, but he always was short of funds. Always was short of funds. But James had a problem on his one show of paying the police officers and the stagehands. They weren't going to work the show. The show wasn't going to go on. I think this was at intermission time. So I had to go back and talk to James and his people, his entourage back there, about, please, would I just go ahead and pay them, and after the show, he'd make it good. And I said, James, we can't do this. I'd met him two or three times. He really let his people be involved, but he did call the last shot. He said, please, Mr. Costner, please, we can do it. I said, James, not only are you not going to be able to finish your performance, but I said, because you still owe money to the city of Tulsa and the rent and everything, they're going to close this door in backstage and prohibit you from going on to your next act. And he said, Mr. Carson, it's just very, very hard. We're just short of funds right now. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but they're going to close this metal door down behind in the convention center, and your bus might as well sit out there because you're not going anywhere. At least your equipment isn't. Well, okay. And he reached into his pocket, and he pulled out the largest wad of $100 bills I've ever seen, and he peeled off $2,000 or $3,000, whatever it was we needed, and he stuck the rest of this giant wad back in his pocket, and they went on their way. I can remember a couple other stories. Some people who are alive now, so I won't go into them.